I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome back to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM Lowell. Would you like to have your cake and eat it too? Joining us today to tell us how in a healthy, gluten-free, sugar-free way is Kelly Keough. Kelly is an expert healthy chef, author, and host of the Sweet Truth cooking show on Berea TV. Kelly's passion is inspiring people with health, weight, and aging concerns related to sugar and gluten to live without, but to have their sweets and eat them too. Kelly's mission is dedicated to her, has, so sorry, Kelly's mission is to dedicate herself to educating people about sugar-free, gluten-free alternative ingredients and superfoods, and to show families how easy it is to be healthy so they can benefit from her unique food philosophy and baking style. Today, we will be talking about her incredible book, Sugar-Free, Gluten-Free Baking and Desserts. Kelly, welcome to It's Your Health.
Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good, Kelly. How are you doing?
Excellent, thanks.
Well, I'm so glad to have you here this morning. Now, before we delve into your awesome book, if you can tell us a little bit about your television show, The Sweet Truth, on Berea TV, and also a little bit about Berea.
Oh, yes. I was so fortunate to align with Berea. They're a healthy lifestyle network, and they have a lot of alternative healing programming. There's two cooking shows on there, and one of them is mine, which is a sugar-free, gluten-free baking show, really. It's all about sweets. And Berea has so much programming, you know, from Reiki to Pilates to Feng Shui, and it's so great to meet people that say, I love that network.
Yeah, you know, I actually received an email yesterday from a listener of the show who saw that you were coming on, and she said, make sure to tell Kelly that I love watching her on Berea, and that's from Helen.
Oh, Helen, thank you. That is so awesome. I'm so glad you enjoy the show. It's so affirming. I'm telling you, that was a definite labor of love that I wanted to share. When I first went sugar-free, gluten-free to heal myself from my hair falling out, and then started, you know, having such amazing health benefits, I wanted to share it with people. And I just feel like just wanting to share that and get it out to as many people as possible helped me align with Berea, and we did the TV show. And that was, you know, that show's been running for several years. It has such legs. I'm so glad that it's right in time, because it just seems like the people who are needing gluten-free and coupled with sugar-free, it's just growing.
Now, how can people watch the show?
Well, they have to have Dish Network or Verizon Fios are the two main cable carriers. So they can go on Berea.com, that's Berea.com, and find out what carriers are in their neighborhood, and or have friends that have the cable and TiVo it and make costs, so.
Now, they can watch it online as well if they go to Berea.com?
No, there's only a small clip on Berea. There are some clips on YouTube of me, and I've even put some stuff on there that is, you know, just me doing my thing at Whole Foods, some candid workshops that I've done.
Oh, great.
Here in LA. Yep. It's a network, and not all the shows are online yet, but maybe you never know in the future.
Oh, okay. But now, I want to move on to talk about your wonderful book. And in the book, you start with the dedication. Quote, this self-help cookbook is dedicated to everyone who has ever healed the self and continues to do so. Now, you mentioned a few moments ago about your hair falling out. If you can tell us what was going on with your health.
Well, you know, it was a culmination of being a compulsive overeater, sugar addict, drinking caffeine, I guess my whole life, up until the age of 39, and that put my digestive tract out of whack. That suppressed my immune system. That made my hormones out of balance. That drained my adrenals. That really, you know, affected my nervous system, because I'm really sensitive. So caffeine and chocolate overtax it, and all of those things combined caused my hair to fall out. That was the symptom. So in treating it, it was all about putting every system back into balance. And the first thing, that I was told, eliminate gluten, eliminate sugar, eliminate coffee. And, within a day, I felt amazing. But, of course, I added great protein sources and gluten-free grains and omega-3s and lots of green powders and supplements. And along with, eating, lots of sea vegetables and creating sugar-free, gluten-free desserts, because I was a sugar addict, so I was happy as a clam. That happiness, just gave me such momentum, and I never looked back over my shoulder.
Oh, that's terrific.
And now, everything fell into place, and the hair grew back.
Oh, that we have beautiful hair. That's just what a wake-up call. Because I think a lot of people will have symptoms where they just don't feel well, and they just sort of ignore them, and there's a certain point where you just can't ignore them anymore. And you've got to start making healthy changes in your life.
Right. And so, for me, let's say I had a rash, or let's say I was getting headaches, or let's say it was something like that, I don't think I would have paid attention. I probably would have ignored it for more years. But the hair, I am, my vanity was so attacked.
Oh, I would have been the same exact way. Well, I'm glad that you found the right health professional to help you. Now, did you seek out a naturopath or some sort of holistic doctor?
Yes, definitely the naturopathic route, which was all about diet and supplements, food plan and supplements, along with, some probiotics, which could be either, a little bit of yogurt by itself. That's how simple I was. It was the supplements coupled. So it was a very basic thing that a naturopath will put most people on. The only thing about me was I didn't, to increase my iron, I ate lots of sea vegetables, plus they're highly digestible, and I needed to increase my iron through leafy greens.
I see. Now, were you skeptical at first, like when he said, when he or she said, okay, you got to cut out the gluten, cut out the sugar, cut out the coffee? Was there a part of you that thought, well, are you sure? I really like those. Or were you really open, like, I'm going to do whatever it takes?
I was so desperate.
Okay.
That the minute I got the regime, I took it in my hands and ran to the computer. I ran and sat and looked up, and for months, every day, I spent hours researching every single ingredient and what the health benefit was for. And then I took the list of everything I shouldn't eat and looked up why it was detrimental to me. And I literally taught myself how food works in the body, and I think that was the foundation for how I synergized my recipes.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Was there a lot of trial and error because these were ingredients you weren't used to working with?
I have to say it must be a latent talent, because I was pleasing my palate out the door. But the first couple of weeks, when you get a food list and you're told to go gluten-free, it's overwhelming. You're like, okay, I can eat an apple.
Exactly.
I can eat an apple, and I can like, oh my God, this quinoa, what do I do with it? It doesn't taste like white rice. what do I eat for breakfast is the biggest challenge, because that's where the carbohydrate addiction starts, is in the morning.
Oh, okay.
The muffins, the scones, the cereal.
Oh, yeah.
So from a previous sugar addict, I wasn't, a bacon and eggs kind of girl. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I started, and I said, oh, my God. So finally, after about 6 weeks, I'm like, recipes have to be developed, or I cannot sustain this lifestyle.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the recipes. But first, I just want to – now, gluten-free – a lot of people think that's just foods with wheat, but isn't that also barley, rye, and oats as well, that those do contain gluten?
Right, and in most products, you know, people run into wheat, but oats are a big one. And now, you know, back 5 years ago, there was no such thing as gluten-free oats. And if there was, I wasn't aware of it. But now, you know, Bob's Red Mill just came out this year with their brand, so it's widely marketed and affordable. So gluten-free oats come from designated fields, and for me, they're great. For, you know, people with celiac, you know, they want to ask their doctor and stuff like that and, you know, make sure they're okay because they are tested for gluten. But for me, they're fine. And for most people. So, and the next thing is barley that, you know, some products are labeled wheat-free, but guess what? They're putting Camu spelt and barley to hold the product together, so because those grains have gluten. And yet, you know, from researching and actually giving lectures here in L.A., I learned from another, you know, naturopath that, okay, wheat is the most glutinous grain because the United States has messed, you know, they have genetically modified, so to speak. They've added more gluten to the wheat itself. Oh. And growing it to make bigger, fluffier everything, and that's why a lot of people can't handle it. So, but the protein chain or the glutinous protein chain in barley is a little different and affects people differently. So it's a little easier. So there's different types of gluten, types of gluten protein chains in different grains, but they're all glutinous, and they can clog the small intestine and stop you from assimilating nutrients.
Oh, okay.
But they do affect people on different levels, wheat being the most allergenic.
Yeah, you know, when I eat wheat, I get tired and my eyes get puffy. So I don't eat it very often, let's just say. So I love your book. I absolutely love your book. There's so many great recipes. So I wanted to talk about, in order to make these recipes, we need to build a pantry. So if you can tell us some of the basic ingredients that we would need to have a gluten-free, and then I also obviously want to talk about the sugar aspects as well, the sugar-free pantry.
Okay, so I think that the first thing that I bought to build a gluten-free pantry was quinoa.
Quinoa's great.
Yep, quinoa, and then I had to learn how to dress it up and take it out because it was it's a grain that you have to acquire a taste for unless you know how to really make it taste great. And I found that toasted sesame oil was my best choice. It just tastes and synergizes so well with a little bit of cayenne for increasing metabolism if you want. And a little bit of Himalayan or sea salt. It's such a delicious, quick dish, and there's high iron in the toasted sesame oil. Now, if you want to make a cookie, a brownie, a muffin, or a scone, and those are like the basic home cook sweet recipes, right? If you're home with kids and a family, and you want to make them healthy desserts, those are like, you know, the easiest things to whip up. Even quick breads. The next item is an all-purpose gluten-free flour. Now, I use Bob's Red Mill. There's other brands, but I make sure that I buy a brand that doesn't already add in the baking soda, baking powder, and all that. I do that separately.
Okay.
But an all-purpose, and that's easy because you can buy, you know, gluten-free baking powder and have your baking soda, and, you know, most of the time you really don't even need xanthan gum, but I always put it in as a safety. That holds everything together. That's from a plant cellulose. But going back to the all-purpose gluten-free flour, it's a mixture of chickpea, fava bean, and then a little bit of tapioca starch, potato starch, to fluff it up.
Okay.
And this can be used across the board. So even though I've got, like, six different flours in my pantry, that's the first one you get. That one can help you make at least four different types of goodies.
Oh, okay.
Even pancakes. Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt just to say that, everyone, you're listening to Thinking Out Loud at WUML Lowell 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Davis, the host of It's Your Health, and I'm talking with Kelly Keough about gluten-free and sugar-free baking, and we were just talking about the pantry. And, Kelly, I had a question about millet. Do you use millet at all? Because that's gluten-free as well. Is that part of your pantry?
Actually, that's a personal taste, and a lot of times restaurants or recipes will combine millet and quinoa together and possibly cook them together. Millet is very starchy, mm-hmm. high in carbohydrates, so I stayed away from it, and I stuck to my quinoa because it's high in protein and iron. So millet is another grain that cooks like quinoa, and they go great together. So if people want to cook that, that's great. But millet is something that is nowhere, and I really don't care for millet personally, so it's not my cookbook. My cookbook is so personal. It's really everything that I loved throughout my life. I recreated it.
That is awesome. And I know that and you dedicate the book to your mother and grandmothers, and I know that they taught you a lot about cooking as well.
Yes. I mean, I learned from being around my family, who is a Sicilian catering business family that's been in business for over 50 years in Western New York, Chiavetta's Catering. I mean, from the second I was born, I was around the food business. And so not only my matriarchal lineage, my grandfather and all my uncles cooked too.
Oh, wow.
So they all went to culinary school, and I worked for them as a teenager. And my mom was a gourmet cook, and my great-grandmother was a personal chef on Lake Erie. And I have her handwritten cookbook. And on the show, I actually transcribed a couple of her recipes. And so that was really fun and nostalgic. And so yes, I was born into the right family, so I had the tools, thank God, of having no fear of food. And now I really, the best part about this whole experience is that food is my friend. I love food. I have no fear of it. I don't have the disease of fearing food and compulsive overeating because I taught myself how to eat normally, and there's nothing that I can't have.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, speaking of when you're talking about your family, and I'm sure they made a lot of sweets, I want to make sure we have time to talk about some of the sugar-free alternatives,
okay.
If you can, and talk to us about those. And we're talking about the healthy kind, not the Splenda and the other ones full of aspartame and all that other junk.
Right. So if somebody was going to set up their pantry and they were interested in being sugar conscious,
mm-hmm.
I have two different categories of sugar alternative. One is low glycemic sweeteners and like agave, and the other category is zero calories, zero glycemic sweeteners that are all natural. So going back to, let's say, the low glycemic sweeteners, now in that category we have agave, which you can find in most supermarkets, either health food stores like Whole Foods or even regular supermarkets now. So agave is, has emerged as a very commercially accepted product, and it is a low glycemic sweetener from a plant that grows in Mexico. It's a succulent, and the Blue Weber agave, you can squeeze the piña and get the juice and either ferment it into tequila or cook it into a syrup. And can you imagine adding agave to tequila? Oh, no. And so the agave is low glycemic, which means it raises the blood sugar not higher than 50. And any food that has a rating of 50 or below is considered a low glycemic food. But, agave has calories, and so I use it in recipes for several reasons. To synergize the rest of the different zero-calorie sweeteners, and to also add moisture to baked goods, or moisture or viscosity, or even maybe a caramelizing effect to a baked good. Other low glycemic sweeteners that are becoming popular are coconut or palm sugar, which is amazing. It can replace brown sugar, and it's got a very low glycemic index. Pecan syrup, you know, basically a one glycemic index, if you can believe that. And let's say carob. Carob is very well known, and roasted carob is nice and the light sweetener, and that can be used as an alternative chocolate. So then we have the zero glycemic sweeteners, and everybody knows stevia. And it really depends on how you use it. I don't recommend it for drinks unless it's a smoothie with lots of omega-3 fats in it, or you're adding almond butter or something like that, because stevia is so potent and people don't want to taste the aftertaste. So I use liquid stevias with flavorings, and that seems to work well. Or make sure when I'm using a stevia, I add a flavoring extract like a vanilla or a chocolate extract. And they're great in recipes, but not for drinks. For drinks and table sugars, I use an erythritol. And I use Z-Sweet, which is, you can find it all Whole Foods or online. And it comes in super sweet packets. I carry them in my pocketbook. Or you can get it in a pouch for baking. And now, this is a type of sweetener that is a sugar alcohol, but it's the best one compared to maltitol, xylitol, because the other ones have been chemically altered from maybe fruit and vegetable fiber. But erythritol is the last sugar alcohol to come out on the market, and it's enzymatically altered and fermented, so there's no digestive problems at all. And the taste, when combined with a little stevia and or another alternative ingredient, is a full round sugar taste. And if you notice in my cookbook, I usually, unless it's a simple recipe, I usually will use several sweeteners to get the best sweetness that resembles the things that we love.
Yeah, well, that's why your book is a must have, because so many of these ingredients are new to people and they need a guide. And your book is perfect, you know, because that way it's not overwhelming if they're listening going, oh, well, I've never heard of these sugars. I don't know these flours. But you put it all together so beautifully, and the food tastes so wonderful. And if you can talk a little bit about hemp also, because I know that hemp is something, and hemp seeds and hemp butter are things that you use a lot in your book.
Hemp is so great, especially if you're a vegetarian or vegan or a flexitarian.
Love it.
Like us.
Yeah.
And you want to add more vegan protein sources to your diet or your kid's diet. I mean, if your child is allergic to peanuts or nuts, hemp is a seed, and it is a full protein source with high omega-3 essential fatty acids. It's delicious, and it can substitute for other nut butters. So the hemp will come in the seed, the butter, the oil, or protein powder. And I find that it is so great as a staple in my pantry. I make a truffle with the hemp butter. So instead of eating a chocolate full of saturated cocoa butter fat, I'm eating a chocolate with polyunsaturated omega-3 fats and full protein. And so hemp, if I was stuck, you know, on a desert island and I could bring one food with me, it would be hemp, because I could survive. I would be getting my, you know, essential fatty acids, my protein, my carbohydrates.
Now, what's the best way to buy this? Does it come like, there's like, just like other nuts or seed butters, raw or roasted? Or does it depend on the recipe?
That's a great point to make. Hemp is sold, you know, already when it comes out of the seed, they put it, you know, then they put it in the package. If you buy a bag of seed, you should put it in your refrigerator, because you want to keep the omega-3s cool so that you can keep them stabilized. And the butter, so when they grind it, like peanut butter, it is still a raw food, so you have to put it in the refrigerator. So that means it's much more digestible. I mean, for anybody who is interested in eating these types of omega-3, you know, seeds or even almond butter, it's the raw butters are more digestible.
Okay.
Yeah, and so keep them refrigerated and you'll enjoy them for sure.
So would you recommend that people make them on their own? And do you need special equipment or just like a, could you do it in a blender? Or I know a Vitamix is wonderful. I love my Vitamix.
Yeah, so let's say that people can only access hemp seed at their health food store at the moment, and they have to put in an order for the butter. You can take about a cup of hemp seed. I put it in my Champion juicer with the blank blade.
Oh.
And, and it will create a seed butter, and it's amazing. You don't want to do too much because the machine gets hot. Now, I've never made it in my Vitamix, but if you put it in your Vitamix, you'd have to add a little hemp oil to get it going, and you can easily make a seed butter or nut butter. So let's say somebody wanted to make, the thing about hemp versus other nuts, you don't have to soak the hemp. With other nuts, you have to soak them depending on what they are. So hemp is quick and easy.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good. Now, we only have a few minutes left, Kelly. If you can talk about some of your other favorite recipes. I know you mentioned the truffles. What else do you love to make
and
to eat?
I have to say there are a lot of my very first recipes, and they have a lot of, great memories for me. My no-guilt brownies, and I find that I did them on the show and got a lot of feedback from people saying they've tried them too, and they've got the most unique, interesting ingredients that you would never know it once you eat it. So the no-guilt brownies are actually a carob brownie, high protein because they've got tahini, which is a sesame butter, and they've got black beans.
Oh, cool!
So high fiber, high protein. And they're so much fun to make because you whip them up in a food processor. And I used to eat them for breakfast.
I was going to say that. I mean, they sound incredibly healthy.
Oh, they're great. And you can make them with, no matter what the, with brownies, you can use any alternative flour. You know, if you have an all-purpose flour, if you have buckwheat flour because you make pancakes, if you have quinoa flour because you were curious and wanted to try it, you can use any flour. If there's very little flour, maybe a half a cup or two-thirds of a cup of flour in the whole recipe, because there's so much bulk. There's, coconut date rolls or medjool dates in there, and very simple. You need a little bit of stevia and agave. And, in any recipe, if you don't want to put the stevia in, eliminate it. Stevia is just to heighten the sweetness, but it's not going to interfere with the baking process. I think that's a really good tip.
Oh, I'm glad that you mentioned that. And, you mentioned pancakes a moment ago. My daughter is a pancake fiend, and I made the pumpkin spice pancakes and the vegan blueberry pancakes, and she just could not get enough. Neither could I nor my husband. They were just so good. They were wonderful. I just want to encourage everyone to, get your book. It's so wonderful. Gluten-free, sugar-free, baking and desserts. And it even mentions pizza in there, which we all love, or most of us love.
Yeah, it's a dessert pizza, actually. And, that's for, pizza connoisseurs who want to delve into something different.
Well, chocolate chips are wonderful. Well, Kelly, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. If you can give us your contact information and people can learn more about you.
Sure. The website is just kellykeough.com, and it's KellyKeough. And anybody can find me there and email me. And I'm also on Facebook. Under Kelly Keough.
Oh, well, terrific. Well, this interview is going to go up on my site in the next few days, and I'm going to be telling everyone to go check it out, check out your book, check you out on Varia TV. And Kelly, I'd love for you to come back again soon and share this great information. It's just so important to have some wonderful, tasty alternatives that are healthy and that your kids will eat. So thanks
exactly.
Again. All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Kelly. Have a great day. Now, to reach me, you can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. Now, be sure to tune in Thursday. We have three very special shows. The first with Nicholas Saladakis, who is a cancer researcher, Carrie Host, author of Between Me and the River, Living Beyond Cancer, and Mia Rosa G will be on to discuss her family's quest to honor the passing of their mother, Rita Vayner, from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma via educating people about what's going to be going on with her going across the country. So it's very exciting. So everyone have a wonderful day and a great week. Keep being healthy. Talk to you Thursday. Bye-bye.